Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Hopefully, by next season, right? We can get one of those opens with Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson combo.
Be sweet.
Long touchdown, game-changing type plays right there, right?
Why can't Frank just, like, you know, just mock a couple?
Just do it, like, go to the studio.
That's a 70-yard field goal.
Work it out. Hey, why not, right?
Pipe in the crowd noise.
Record setter. Yeah, just like that. It wouldn't even cost us a fifth-round draft
right.
pick.
I would hate to see what the national media would do if we started making up opens for highlights on Jaguars Today, and they caught wind of that.
Yeah, right? You know, fake crowd noise, the whole nine yards. I'm not getting into that whole can of worms right there. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Serious question for you. Have you ever considered doing any, like, blogging, podcasting, writing in general about professional wrestling?
Sure. I mean, if the Times Union approached me and says, hey, would you write a weekly wrestling blog? I'd say, okay, give me $50 a week. Hayes Carlion, a big wrestling fan, I'm sure he'd chip in. So, but I tell you,
is Hayes a big wrestling fan too?
Yeah. So on Sunday night, I was bouncing off the walls at my house. WrestleMania was so incredible.
What was it? The Ronda Rousey?
That part was like. So what? Who cares? It was like
that's just for the fringe fans.
That's
right?
Exactly. That's like to try to get the mainstream.
That's the only thing I know that happened.
Yeah,
in WrestleMania.
That was the Furious Seven promo.
Yeah,
essentially.
Right. Okay.
It's always cool to see The Rock out there. That was enough.
Yeah.
But you know, Stinger.
Did you watch The Rock on Saturday Night Live?
I watched part of it.
Did you see him as Bambi?
I only saw him as president.
In the live action remake of Bambi, it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny, I gotta say. Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah,
you only watched the opening couple minutes if you saw him as the president.
Yeah, and I was like, this is stupid, I'm turning it.
you're dragging The Rock down. This is beneath him, right?
I'm also looking forward to seeing Fast and the Furious this weekend.
I bet you are. I bet you are. It's good to know there are things you get excited about, man.
Yeah.
You're pretty, I don't know what your heart rate is, but I don't think it goes up too much, too often.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. See, he says very laconically. So what was the highlight for you, WrestleMania? Give it to us.
The end, because I digress.
The end. That was a highlight for me, too, when it was over.
I digress a little bit. You know, they have the for the listeners, they have a pay-per-view during the year called Money in the Bank, where a guy wins the right to cash it in for a championship match. Well, they almost never do it at a big event like WrestleMania. So you got Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns beating the hell out of each other, both bleeding profusely. Here comes Seth Rollins running out, cashes in the Money in the Bank title.
Do we have to?
Sound effects, baby.
I'm mentally doing air quotes when you say wins the right. You mean scripted the right to do such and such.
How long have they been doing Money in the Bank now?
I'd say probably 10 years.
Yeah. It's still a relatively new thing.
And the best one is, like, you know, by the time the guy trades it in, like, the briefcase is all dented because he's used it as a weapon so many times.
Yep.
So, like, cracks some skulls and stuff.
Of course. Because
he walks up there, it's like the threat of him possibly cashing that thing in, and then he'll just hit you with the briefcase.
All right,
instead
Tony, you know a lot more than I do.
Well, I know we had a match between Sting and what was it, Triple H, where it wound up DX and the NWO were out there ringside, which even I know what's going on with that. If it's DX and NWO, that's back in my time frame when I was watching the WWE. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I was like, really? They did that? That was 15 years ago, 20 years ago in the WWE.
Some closure.
Yeah. What was the name of the wrestling show we used to have on 1010 XL?
Ringside Live.
Ringside
That's
Live.
Pretty cool name.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, it's just the only thing I know that gets your heartbeat up, your heart rate above I don't know what is the pro wrestling. But you and Hacker should get together.
Hacker, what did you think of that Ronda Rousey appearance?
What did Hacker think
no,
of it?
No, Hacker. What did you? What?
Every time he comes in, he asks for
I forgot.
Now.
Right over my head. Dirt. She's kind of hot. That's all I got for you today. That's all I have for you today. But, off the top turnbuckle or something like that, I would.
So, the better is 4 weeks from today.
The what is?
4 weeks from today, we're talking third overall pick.
Oh, okay. That now I can now I'm speaking your language.
Segueing.
Woo, that was good. I like. We are 4 weeks from today. We're talking about the third overall pick, first round of the NFL draft. Are you going to Chicago?
No, because
are you going to stay home with family because it's important to you to be with the ones who got you to this point?
Well, that's not bad. I went to New York the last 2 years, and just from a it's a waste of money. Because of the time crunch, when we're actually able to talk to the player, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to do it.
Yeah, typically you'll have them here the next day.
Yeah, and conference call that night. When it used to be earlier in the day, I covered a couple of times, which was great because you had time to actually work a story. But I didn't really pursue it this year. But I tell you what, I'm glad the Jaguars don't have the first or second pick because a couple of those guys aren't going to be there. So,
no, you're right. Well, yeah, if they were going to the quarterback direction, at least.
If they had the first pick, we probably would have already booked a flight up there. Yeah, if the Jaguars had the first pick.
Sure.
But you know, maybe other guys are going to start dropping out. But it's cool. It seems like things like drafts snuck up on us a little bit, whereas last year it just seemed like a complete and utter death march.
It was a little bit later.
So it'll be interesting first round, I think.
We talked about Stefan Wisniewski earlier this week, just in general in terms of, well, since the Jags have, at this point, haven't shown interest in him, and he seemed to want to only consider places that were going to bring him in as a starter. You know, he's 26 years old. He started a lot of football games that probably didn't line up with the Jags' expectations. And then yesterday you're reporting that he is here in Jacksonville for a visit, as he's visited with other teams. What other teams has he visited with?
Seattle, Tampa, New England.
New England, I knew. Okay.
Yeah, Seattle traded their center. Tampa Bay has a center, Dietrich Smith. And New England's center is a free agent, Conley. No, Stork. Stork's coming off an injury.
Yeah, Stork, right.
Yeah, Wisniewski, I think, is one of those guys where he probably thought the door would come storming down on him when the market opened. Well, now he sort of maybe have to reset his expectations. I think he'd probably be willing to take a little less to get guaranteed a spot. Because I think if he comes here, I mean, my assumption would be that he would be the week one starter. I don't think that may be the assumption in the building.
Well, that's the thing. What do you think they feel about Luke Bowenko in terms of that? I mean, if they brought in Wisniewski, would it only be under the terms of a purely open competition?
I think that probably would be the terms. But also, you got to think it would be weighted toward a guy with 61 games.
You would think so, right?
And familiarity with the new offensive coordinator.
The fact that the new offensive coordinator, I assume, would have input, on if you're going to go after a free agent who was coaching the last couple of seasons, yeah. And you wouldn't pursue him if you didn't give him a good recommendation.
I mean, I think Greg Olson's probably spearheaded this thing. You know, say, hey,
let's go get him.
Let's go get him. It's something I've been weighing the last day or so. It's like, okay, what do they really think about Bowenko? If they were really, really down on him, they probably would have pursued an avenue earlier. Whereas maybe they see this as a little bit of a bonus where they didn't really think he'd still be out here.
I don't get the sense of down on Bowenko.
No,
I think they feel like they got more than they bargained for when they got him in the sixth round.
I guess what I was saying, if they were down on him, we'd hear in center chatter right away in free agency.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're maybe looking at this as a little bit of a luxury. But also they're negotiating, I guess, it has to be a price, good for them, or else they're okay with going with Luke again, going into camp.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are their options. Caldwell said a couple weeks ago, after the initial rush of free agency a few weeks ago, if they needed to go play today, they could. They feel like they plugged the holes that they needed to, critically. Doesn't mean they can't upgrade and bring in more competition.
Yeah, I mean, if they had to roll it out today, they'd have a 53-man roster. But, 3 weeks from now, that 53 will probably be a little bit better.
Oh, right. Of course. But, I mean, I think they feel like, certainly at right tackle, that there was no answer at right tackle. I don't know if they could have really played, you know, before they signed Parnell, for instance. You know, so there are some holes I think they filled along the way. So one of the things we'll talk about today, we'll take a look at the depth chart and kind of go through position by position and see, you know, which positions we think most likely could produce a starter that's not currently on this roster. Obviously, whoever they take at three is going to start in short order, you would think. Whether he starts day one or not, I don't think is that important, because defensive linemen rotate a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's going to be like, if it's a defensive lineman, he's going to be a air quote starter from day one, because he'll be a part of that rotation.
Right, that key rotation, yeah. Right. Maybe three guys for two spots, something like that. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. Also, we got tickets to the Armada's opener against Edmonton this Saturday night. We'll tell you a little bit later on how you can score a pair of tickets from us before the show is over with today. Today, Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. This is one that everybody can relate to. Well, at least I assume. It's easy for me to relate to this one. Who is your least favorite NFL player of all time? Least favorite's a weird way to say it. Most disliked, I think, is the official way I put it out there. Least favorite indicates that he's somewhat of a favorite of yours, right? So most disliked makes it clear that it's at the far end of the spectrum. Who's the guy you hate the most in the NFL?
Who do you hate the most?
Who do you hate the most? All time, you know, past, present, what have you, as far as NFL players go.
I did not like Brandon Lloyd, the receiver, when he was at the Redskins.
Just difficult to work with?
Yeah, and his teammates really didn't like him either. I had a natural disdain for him.
That's a weird career that he had, and I guess still kind of on the fringe of having a half a foot in the National Football League, right? Was he on a roster at all last year at any point?
San Francisco.
Was he in San Francisco last year? I mean, he was renowned for making some of the most circus catches you'll ever see. Led the league in receiving one year when he was with the Denver Broncos, and then really didn't do much outside of that one season.
And then just had some befuddling drops.
Absolutely.
So he was a tease.
It's weird. Maybe I wonder what that is, if it's a question of, you know, you're not able to take your mind out of it. The easy play, you think about it, it's right there. You're thinking, I've got to catch this. And when it's 2 feet over your head and you got to twist your body to get to it, you don't have time to think. Maybe it's a case like that with Brandon Lloyd. But we'll get to your thoughts on that as we go along today.
What
if
you
like
say
to get in. Well, we'll talk about it as we go along.
I could probably give you seven or eight more.
I got one guy who's a clear. Tony thinks about it for about a minute. He'd probably come up with my least favorite player of all time in the National Football League. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. But I certainly voiced my disdain for this guy over the years. I say it didn't take you very long.
No.
So happy birthday, by the way.
We see him every year.
My least favorite player in the National Football League.
We see him once a year.
That's what got me started on this whole thing. We absolutely do. If you want to get in today, any aspect of Jaguar football, the National Football League, we'll also look at the latest from the Aaron Hernandez trial a little bit later on. 641-1010 is the way to do it. You want to weigh in on social media, at MD underscore 1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. And I'll give you a preview right now of what's coming up tomorrow for the Friday Top 5, so you can put your thinking caps on for tomorrow. This is going to be a fun one, we hope. Your top 5 most watched movies of all time. The 5 movies that you personally have watched the most in your life. I there's no way of knowing what five are.
I got my list put together, and I'm like, it really should probably be a top 20.
I had 12.
Thinking about it, I have no idea how many times I've seen any of these.
But I guesstimated the best I could.
Yeah,
and
so I just plucked
there's
5.
There's no penalty for being wrong in this score right here. All right, 641-1010, phone lines open to you. We'll get in position by position on the Jags. Who are locked in? Which players are locked in as starters for opening day? And where is there a little bit of wiggle room that you might see a late free agent signing or a draft pick come in and have a realistic chance to buy for that opening day spot? Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank Field. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I got a question for you. Jaguars today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Where the heck does Ryan O'Halloran go when we go to break?
He talks to his sources inside the building.
His sources?
Yeah.
Is that right? All right. He's talking to sources right now. He's out in the hallway at the moment, joining us momentarily. Here we go. Coming back, Ryan O'Halloran. Tyler Devitt, who's been at 1010XL for like 3 days. How long you been? When did you start working at 1010XL, Tyler?
I became an intern in August, and my first day producing this show was Christmas Eve.
Oh, man, I remember it fondly. No, I don't. I know, right? That seems like a long time. Taking over for Lauren Brooks. You're at least the fifth producer I've had. No, six. I can think of at least six producers I've had on this station alone. I'm sitting across from one.
Yes,
right
you are.
Now from way back in, that's the six. So I was like, wait a minute.
When we were, like, the station's got its eighth anniversary today, and 8 years ago today,
Happy birthday
producing
to us.
A show for you and Frank, and you were in the studio, and Frank was at the Final Four, and it was complete chaos.
Let's
in
just
that
say
room.
There were some bad combinations that we've tried over the years, all right? And this current three-man booth may be one of them. I don't know. Maybe. So here's what I'm going to do. We've got a pair of tickets to go see the Armada play Edmonton this Saturday. I need the nickname for the Edmonton squad coming in, Tony. What do you got?
All I know is FC Edmonton. That's what
FC Edmonton. That's probably what they are. I have no idea.
I'm sure they have some kind of mascot.
I don't know. Do you know what they are?
I think it's just FC, right?
FC yeah. Edmonton Football Club of Edmonton. Edmonton.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
That's so ridiculous.
Fantastic. Not Sporting Edmonton.
I thought it was it to get a nickname.
That's what it is. The Football Club.
The Oil Drillers.
The Edmonton Oil Drillers. Excellent. What I would like for you to do for a pair of tickets to go see the Armada take on Edmonton this Saturday night over at the baseball grounds or the Armada grounds, as the case may be, the soccer grounds of Jacksonville, at least for that night.
I thought that match was here.
Yeah. What? It is.
Why don't they have a baseball game on Saturday over there?
I don't know.
They do. The first game's in the stadium.
So the
is it in the stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, the first soccer game's here.
Yeah, first soccer game is here at Everbank.
Right over my head. Well, even better for you, okay? Bigger seating capacity. Perfect. Shows you how in
tune
I am with the Armada.
Yeah, they're trying to set the NASL like regular season record for a regular season game
Perfect.
As far as attendance. So be a part of it.
If you want to be part of it for free, here's what I need. On the eighth anniversary of the debut of 1010XL as a radio entity here in Jacksonville, Florida, U.S. of A., email me, because on Twitter, other people are going to be able to see your tweets if they look at my timeline, what have you. Email me today, before the end of the show, MikeD at 1010XL.com. I want as many former hosts on 1010XL that you can name. People that hosted a show, I'm probably forgetting a bunch of them, Tony, but we came up with at least a dozen.
Yep.
A dozen. You're thinking, wait a minute, there can't be that many. Yes, there can. There are a lot of former hosts. Some of them just hosted a one-day-a-week show, whatever the case may be. As many different people that have hosted shows on 1010XL, whoever has the most people and gets them all right, if you guess a bunch of people that didn't host shows, I just thought of another one off the top of my head. That person will get the tickets. That's what we'll do by the end of the show. Isn't that exciting for all of you out there? And you can help set the NASL attendance record.
What is the attendance record?
I do not know.
60,000.
I was supposed to say it's way north of six.
Is it north of six? I don't know. I have no idea.
I bet it's in the teens.
Like 15 or 16?
17, 18.
Oh, 1,000, you're saying, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just kidding. All the Armada fans are shaking their metaphorical or literal fists at me right now. So there you go. Tell us how many, and then we'll go through at the end of the show. We'll see how many we can come up with, Tony, because they keep popping in my head as we go along. Would High Flying with Jack O'Brien count? He's still on, so he's not a former host. He would, right? That would count,
right? He would count if they weren't on, yeah.
We're not talking about like guys that are nationally syndicated that we happen to run on the weekend or something like that. Local Jacksonville-based hosts of 1010XL. How many former hosts can you come up with? And there you have it.
By the way, the NASL record is just below 15,000.
Look at Ryan O'Halloran. Ryan O'Halloran is, you know what he's one thing he's good for?
Oh,
is estimating soccer attendance records. Just nobody's got that ability like Ryan O'Halloran.
Seldom wrong and right again.
Seldom wrong, right again.
Well, they should beat that.
We'll crush that.
Destroy it.
Honestly, we will.
30,000? What are you predicting?
They could, yeah.
We go 21.
I'm going to go 22. 37.
I was going to guess somewhere like 26.
Well, then we all have a different guess, don't we?
I have a big group of friends. We're going. I know I'll be out there missing Final Four.
You have an extra 3,000. You're going to miss the Final Four. Well, good for you. I got to work Saturday night, honestly. I have a radio show.
I'll leave and hopefully be somewhere in time to watch the second half of the Kentucky game. I mean, that's what I'll see of the Final Four.
Oh, you're not calling it the Wisconsin game. I see where your interests
lie. I don't care
that
Wisconsin's playing. Okay. I want to watch 38-0 Kentucky.
What about Frank Kaminsky, National Player of the Year?
Yay.
Come on. I heard Prosser and Hick talking about this to deviate for a moment. Who's the best player right now out of these four teams? I get it, National Player of the Year. You drop signs right now to play. Right now we're going to drop teams and we're going to play a Final Four. We're going to play two games. Ain't no way I'm taking him first. You kidding me? You're going to take him over Okafor and Towns? No, you go ahead. I'll take Okafor. You take Kaminsky, and I'll take Towns with my next pick. And good luck to you, okay? And you continue on from that point. All right, let's go through this Jags roster, Ryan. Certainly, Wisniewski, if he came in, would have a chance to start opening day. Yeah, like you said, probably be the favorite to beat out Belenko in even competition, just based on experience, the fact that he's got a history with Greg Olsen, that Olsen probably would have a hand in the pursuit of him or, you know, lend his voice to that. So certainly center is a position. But I don't think there's any other position on the offensive line. I can't imagine, you know, if they take an interior lineman that seems to be a value in the fourth or fifth round that's going to come in and beat out Zane Beatles. There's no way they're not starting Jokel. And this is barring injury, of course. Any other line position that... None,
no,
right?
No.
Tight end. If they start in a two tight end set, they're both here. If they start in a one tight end set, it's Julius Thomas, right? Already on the roster.
If they start a two tight end set, it's one of them is here.
One of them is here. You don't think Mercedes is here?
I don't think he'll be here.
You know, I think he'll be here, but I think he'll be here at a reduced number.
I don't think he'll be here.
Really? Are you confident? I mean, is that...
That's... I think it'll be best for them if they move on from each other. I think they'll be able to. I think they're on that third day of that draft, and they're going to be able to flip them to a team for a sixth or seventh round pick. That team will extend them a year, lower that number, and he'll go to a better situation. Everybody talks. I mean, it's fine. Everybody talks about how he's a blocker, whatever. He doesn't think that way. He thinks he's Julius Thomas. So there's not I think
there's not a team in the league that's going to think that of him, though. Is there?
No. There's going to be a team that needs, and I'll go back to Baltimore. Steve, their owner yesterday, told the season ticket holders, we desperately need help at tight end. They have all these picks. They can't trade the compensatories, but they have extra picks they can trade. I think it's best for Mercedes to get to a new spot. I think it's best for the Jaguars to move on from him.
Just because he's not going to be happy. I'm trying to read between the lines. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, I think he needs a fresh start, and I think the Jaguars, they can be, it'll be better off for the heart.
I will predict that that's the case. They will open in a one tight end set on opening day. Okay. So I don't think
Clive Wolford will be the second tight end.
They could draft a guy like that, certainly. And it's conceivable they could open in a two tight end set. I think it's, they got so many things, so many ways they could go, because he seems like a guy you're going to risk missing out on if you wait to the third round. And there's so many things that I think they still need on this football team that could be staring him in the face with the 36th pick. I think it's going to be hard to take a tight end when you just signed Julius Thomas to the contract you signed him to at that pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they'll take a tight end at 36, but I think they'll take a tight end at some point.
I don't know if Wolford's going to be on the board by the time the third pick rolls around.
There'll be another guy. But
it's a weak draft for tight end.
But it could be. If not, it'll be Julius Thomas and Interstate 85, old Nick Jacobs.
Wow. All right. Moving on. Blake Bortles, obviously. What are they going to do about the fullback position? Is Gerhardt in play to be kind of an H-back? Let's say they draft a running back in round three. Let's say they draft T.J. Yeldon. Whatever. Whoever they take. I know you love your Melvin Gordon. But
the Yeldon be a fit, too.
All right, let's say he was there. Do they try to get value out of Gerhardt in a different way rather than making him a strict backup or third down back?
I would say no. Last year you saw him and Todman in the game at the same time. You know, Toby's not a lead blocker. I mean, so I think they'll end up finding a fullback somewhere that can play 10, 12 snaps a game, you know, in a jumbo set. I think there is a, you know, as Dave Caldwell said last week in Phoenix, there is a role for Gerhardt on his team. It's just to be determined. So, you know, let's say you bring in a guy like Yeldon. I think he should be your starter from the get-go. He's your featured back. You have Denard fill in for him on first and second downs. And then I think you can carve out a role for Gerhardt on third downs, because one thing Greg Olsen is stressing to these other coaches is these running backs have to protect the passer better than they did last year. I think Toby would be able to fill that role.
Dave Caldwell said he'd be fine at the price that – look, people say, oh, Toby Gerhardt got all this money. Well,
he really
by,
didn't.
By human standards, he got a lot of money, but not by NFL standards.
Yeah, by media standards,
right?
He did.
Right, sure. By typical person standards, he got a lot of money. But he said he'd be fine with him in a third down role based on what they're paying him, if that's the way it played out.
Yeah, and you know the positive of having so much cap space is you can let things play out a little bit. You don't have to be forced into decisions because you need to get under the cap. That's why, you know, they're not forced into doing anything with Lewis if they don't want to, and the same thing with Gerhardt.
All right. People are sending me their top five movie lists already.
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow, but in one of them, I just like, oh, damn, that's got to be in my top five most watched movies.
How many of them are pay-per-view?
On the one hand, none of these are pay-per-view, thank you very much. These are all big theater production, rated R at a maximum, is what you got. All right, obviously quarterback, we know the answer to that. What about wide receiver? Certainly, if they drafted Amari Cooper at third overall, you got to believe he's coming in and starting, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, why else would you take a guy third overall? I mean, unless he came in and underperformed, but you'd have an eye on him starting opening day.
Yeah, and I would say the same for a guy like Dorsett, who could play inside right away in a three-receiver formation. So I think they're even entering the draft, and we, you know, let's just assume that Jennings doesn't end up here, although I think that's still in play, is you have to be encouraged by where they're at receiver.
I think, you know, Dorsett, we talked about it yesterday. Hayes had his story, Hayes Carline, where basically here's seven guys, one per round, that could be available at that spot that would make sense for the Jags, and he had Dorsett in the third round to Jacksonville. And I don't know if they feel as strongly about him as the logic dictates that he would fit.
He made a very good impression on them at the Senior Bowl.
And he's got blazing speed.
Yeah.
He profiles as a slot guy, you know, which is what they went after Randall Cobb for. Obviously not, you know, nearly on the same level, because Randall Cobb's accomplished it in the National Football League, but ran two sub-4.3s at Miami's Pro Day yesterday. I don't care what you're running on.
Yeah.
I don't care what surface you're running on.
It's fast.
That man is picking them up and putting them down.
I don't know
hurry.
If you saw Mel Kiper did his 10 safest picks in the 2015 NFL draft, an article he put out this morning. Philip Dorsett was mentioned in there, and he kind of does it. It's not like these are the 10 guys that at the top of the draft I feel best about. It's more like he went throughout the draft a little bit, but the Speed Merchant Plus is what he called Philip Dorsett, and he talks a little bit about him as a player and says where he'll land in this draft, top 35. So he thinks that he's going at the top of the second round at a minimum right now with what he's
That's
done.
Why I liked what Hayes had in the third,
right?
Because, again, you get to the top of the – you get to 36, and you're like, you could go slot receiver. You could go running back because you're probably a walk-in starter. There are certain linebackers I think that could be there that could be of interest to the Jags. And, again, a lot of it depends on what they do with the first pick in the draft. You know, the reason I haven't seen Kiper's list yet, Tony, because I thought it was an April Fool's joke. I know they did it the day before, but the site redesign on ESPN.com
not good.
Sucks, okay? It's terrible.
But you mentioned that with a guy like Philip Dorsett and where the Jaguars are at the top of that second round and whatever these prospects are going to be ranked or rated by the time we get there, that's what would be nice about signing a guy like Greg Jennings. Because now you don't go into the draft and feel any need, okay, we need to address the slot. It's like, if we get into a position where we feel like we're in a good spot to address that position, mm-hmm. Now we can do it in the draft. If you don't, I'm not saying they don't like Allen Hurns. Maybe they do like Allen Hurns playing in that position. But if you don't have anybody else, you do feel like maybe we do need to upgrade that spot, and at some point there is some pressure to spend a draft pick on that position. If you have Greg Jennings, there's not.
Yeah, because right now they are not in a position like they were last year where they can move up into the late second, move up into the late third, because they don't have any extra picks. And I don't think this regime is high on giving away things. Definitely not giving away a pick for the future to move up in the present. So let's say a hypothetical. Let's say they get Jennings done. Well, that means, first round. Okay, that means second round. Then you can go running back instead of slot receiver. Or you can go outside linebacker or middle linebacker. And then the third round, circle back and get one of those running backs. So it all depends on across the hall here. Have they narrowed it down at running back to three guys? Let's say three guys. Okay, they're not taking 1/3 overall, but at that second round pick, that if one of them's there, they're definitely going to take them.
Right, and if they're one if of, and 10, if they're not, right, if they're not, then maybe they have another 4 or 5 right. that they think would be a third round value.
Yeah, maybe if that list is 10 that they see, okay, Gurley and Gordon totally separate as they should, but if they have that next group of 8 pretty much even, then you can probably afford to wait.
All right, we will look at the defense coming up here in a minute. Again, today, email me, MikeD@1010XL.com. Happy birthday to us, 8th. Birthday of 1010XL, the 8th anniversary of our birth, whatever you want to look at it, however you want to phrase it. We started things off 8 years ago with 1010XL. Name as many former hosts on 1010XL, local hosts, as you possibly can, and whoever gets the most will give you a pair of tickets to go see the Armada, try to set the NASL single game attendance record in their home opener this Saturday night versus Edmonton. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hara, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, send me your email submissions. Most former hosts on 1010XL you can name for a pair of Armada tickets. We'll get to that a little bit later on the show. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Now that I've figured out how to navigate to a simple article on ESPN.com's horrific redesign of their website. What?
It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you two guys, but it's not good.
You know why it bothers me? It bothers me because they did it on the 20th anniversary of ESPN.com as if to say, well, we have to do something. Because it's the 20th anniversary, okay? And why don't you just have a trivia question like I did, okay? It's our 8th anniversary. I'm going to have a trivia question. I'm not going to redesign the whole station. Come on.
Well, my rub is, if I go to the homepage, I want to see a lot of headlines.
Yes, exactly.
And also, my thing is, I'll click on a story. I'm going to give you the click, but I want it to be easy to copy and paste into a Word file that I can read later in the day. Because I like having like 40 pages worth of stuff I can go.
You're a weirdo. That's cool. I don't know if many people are doing that, though.
Well, that's what I do when I fly.
Okay.
So, because I'm not gonna, a lot of the flights.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. But I don't think a lot of people are use the website in that fashion.
But because I also keep an archive of everything Jaguars, that's why.
I gotcha. Now, I think a lot of people probably love all the video stuff.
Video, to me, it
should be a supplement, right? There should be a link inside the story once you click on the story. Don't make everything a video. Like, I click on it, I'm going to get video popping up on my screen. I don't want that.
Well, it's like when I hit on NFL.com, like last night, I'm looking at some of the pro day stuff. Well, I start reading the pro day stuff, all of a sudden, blasting of a sound.
Right.
So I got to go back up, hit the pause on the video. If I want to watch video, I'll find it.
Right. That's the way I feel. But you know what? Then again, maybe we're just middle-age-ish guys who are behind the times, and that's quite possible. But I am who I am, Tony. I can't change who I am. I can try. I've mellowed a lot. You know, I played golf with Barry Milligan yesterday and a couple of Jaguars Today listeners out there, and it was good to see Barry. I told Barry he's a guy that, honestly, there are probably people that don't like Barry, but I don't know him. I don't know who they are. Everybody I know who knows Barry Milligan likes Barry Milligan.
Sure.
Okay. Same with you. Everybody I know that knows Tony Smith likes Tony Smith. Can't say that for Ryan and me. I guarantee you. I'm sure you would agree with me, right?
I got a quality.
There are people that like you, but there are people that don't like you as well. And I know that there are people that don't like me. And Barry said he had a buddy moved down from New York, and he's like, you know, he knew he was in radio for a while here in Jacksonville and all that. And he said, so you know this Dempsey guy? He's like, yeah, we're buds. He goes, why is he so angry? I wonder when he moved down, because I should have asked him, because I really think I've mellowed quite a bit in my middle age here.
You're not as angry.
I'm not as angry. I still have my moments, but, it's not just me all the time. That's 97% of the time now. So, all right, let's get to the defensive side of the ball here, Ryan. We're talking about right now, if you're going to line up. Now, we don't know who's going to be healthy enough to play opening day, right? But your projected lineup, if everybody were healthy, you'd have Odrick at your left defensive end spot. You'd have Marks, Miller in the middle, and you'd probably have Chris Clemens on the right side, right? Now, you know, based on, let's say Marks wasn't available, you'd slide Odrick in, you put Oluwalo at the left defensive end, probably, right? It seems reasonable, right?
Right, you know, or you Ziggy Hood inside.
Or, you're right, some combination of guys that you have on the roster that you shuffle it around. But if you draft a Leonard Williams, I mean, you're taking that guy at third overall. Mm-hmm. He's going to play somewhere, right? Yeah. You would think, right?
I think he would play. I think he would, you know, he may not have the start next to his name, but I think at the beginning he'd see more time at defensive tackle because of those injuries, that even if Miller and Marks are back, they may be weaned in a little bit.
Right.
So I think Williams, and then I think you have a nice little situation on third down. Do you try him outside, try him inside? You know, he plays multiple positions.
Same thing with the Leo guy. If you went Fowler, or let's say they went Vic Beasley or some other guy, if they traded down, there's a decent chance that guy would be, not a guarantee, but again, they're going to play enough. And they're going to play their 60% of the snaps or whatever it would come out to be, that it doesn't really matter if they're on the field for the first snap of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave Caldwell told Tony and I, and I'm sure you've talked to him about this as well, that, you know what, if they find an outside linebacker that beats out Dan Scuda, they're okay with that. Because, you know, they're not going to take one again third overall. If you find a guy, let's say, in the third or fourth round, they can come in and he beats him out. He says, hey, you know, Scuda contributes on special teams. He can contribute on third down as a pass rusher. And the salary, the total salary you'd be allocating to that position would not be daunting. They're not going to worry that, well, Scooter's getting more, but he's coming off the bench compared to this guy. It's the total sum that they've got. So that's a possibility. I don't think it's a likelihood that, I think it's likely Scooter's an opening day starter, but there's a possibility, I think, that that outside linebacker position could be open for competition.
Yeah, I think If let's say they draft a guy in the middle rounds and he does beat out a Dan Scuda, then okay, then that's not a good sign for what they signed. So, but I mean, I think you go on opening day with Scuda, Puzlesny, Telvin.
That's the likelihood. But I mean, what if the guy just comes in and he's better? I mean, I think Caldwell's point wasn't that we're not sure what we have in Scuda so much as we're not going to be upset if this guy comes in and pushes him. How much of a priority is it to find a successor to Paul Puzlesny?
I think it's in the top couple needs.
So I could see them going 36 if the right guy's there.
Yeah, even if they draft a guy and say, okay, you're going to be working outside for a year before you don't start grooming him because you feel he's good enough to get on the field now. If he is, then okay, then you go back to that thing. Okay, do you make Puzlesny a two-down linebacker? Can the new guy pick things up quick enough and be out there with Telvin, give them, you know, more athletic presence on those sub package downs?
If you're going to look at the secondary right now, I think three of the four spots, and it depends on, you know, they're going to play a ton of nickel anyway, but their top three corners, if they're playing two cornerbacks or three cornerbacks, those guys are on the roster. I find it hard to believe they're going to draft a cornerback that's going to jump ahead on the depth chart. I don't think it's a high priority at this point in time. And your fourth guy right now really is Grotz. So, you know, with McCray and Colvin and House now coming in free agency, I think they're pretty set at that position. Not that you might not, you know, you might find somebody that you fall into who's a value later, but the odds of them starting on opening day, I think, are small. I think Cyprian is locked in as a starter at strong safety. Sergio Brown's going to get the first shot at it, and it's not supposed to be a great safety class. So mm-hmm. I think he's the likely guy, but I don't think it's a mortal lock that he's your opening day starter.
Yeah, and but with the signing of Brown, obviously a pretty safe contract, but to get him in the house so quickly, it sort of shows you what they thought of the safety class in the draft. They felt they had to be proactive and get him or somebody.
I don't think they had much interest in Raheem Moore, right? I mean, that's the way it looks, because Raheem Moore ended up going to Houston for 3 years, $12 million, I think, is what he
Something
got.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, and, you know, maybe it's just having that image of Jacoby Jones running past him in my head, but, you know, anecdotally, it seems like he blows a lot of coverages. I was looking at him, as a matter of fact, this morning on Pro Football Focus. They said he's actually been pretty good, not giving up big plays over the last several years in the National Football League. We'll see if he pans out for them. So those are some of the spots that maybe you'll have an opening day starter that isn't currently on the Jags roster. Coming up a little bit later on, we will look at Kuiper's article, the 10 safest picks in the 2015 NFL draft. And a lot of the usual suspects that are being connected with the Jags with the third pick fall into that category. So we'll get to that coming up. This date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. Again, got a pair of Armada tickets for Saturday night's first ever a franchise opener, not just a home opener, the franchise opener on Saturday night here at Everbank. And all you have to do is email me a list of the most former hosts on 1010XL radio that you can come up with. And whoever comes up with the most will win those tickets. We'll announce that before the end of the show. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony with you. Halftime is here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Oh, this one's for O'Halloran right here. 1995. Lawrence Taylor beats Bam Bam Bigelow WrestleMania 11. Oh. How about that?
I was like, where is this going?
That's pretty cool.
That's all I got for you. Although the birthday today that sparked our fan feedback spotlight, by the way, you can tweet us with your least favorite player or your most disliked, the player you hate the most in the NFL all time. Bill Romanowski, miserable birthday to you, Bill Romanowski, born 49 years ago today, 1966. Bill Romanowski is the epitome of the thug football player. He's the guy that Ndamukong Suh wishes he could be when it comes to the thug meter. Involved in just numerous altercations on the field, spitting in J.J. Stokes' face, throwing a football at Brian Cox's crotch, punching his own teammate Marcus Williams, destroying his eye socket and ending his career. Williams sued him and successfully won a $340,000 settlement, breaking Kerry Collins' jaw with a helmet-to-jaw hit, and, of course, admitting that he was a steroid and HGH abuser as well post-playing career after he got busted in the Balco investigation. Bill Romanowski, you're a piece of garbage.
And other than that.
Other than that, pretty good guy. My least favorite player. Statistically, not a bad chap he was. This date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 and visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The NFL is still in the investigation stage of the Greg Hardy incident. The timeline for when any punishment will be announced is still unclear, but one thing will become more clear for the league. The NFL was given access yesterday to seven photos of Hardy's former girlfriend, Nicole Holder, that were submitted as evidence in Hardy's domestic violence case. Hardy signed a one-year, $11 million deal with the Dallas Cowboys a couple weeks ago, but about nine of those $11 million is for game-by-game playing bonuses, which would obviously be affected by whatever punishment the NFL could potentially hand out. Speaking of Dallas, quarterback Tony Romo has agreed to restructure his contract, creating $13 million in cap space for the boys this year, who found themselves right up next to the cap with the signing of Rolando McClain this week. The $16 million coming off of his 2015 cap number is expected to be converted into a signing bonus. And the Houston Texans signed wide receiver Nate Washington yesterday.
Yes, several around here, T-Wig, I know, wanted Nate Washington. Nate Washington did nothing for me in a Jaguar uniform. Much prefer Greg Jennings or pass now on what has become a depleted veteran wide receiver market.
Now let's I still get tweets about this. They're not going to go after Michael Crabtree.
That door
wasn't even cracked. They're just not interested.
Crabtree is, you know.
Who is?
Miami talked to him, right?
Yeah.
Miami's the only one to talk to. He'll go somewhere on a one-year deal, incentive-laden, because he'll have no choice.
Yeah, show me a contract.
Right, but I think for the Jags, and sometimes, I know Caldwell says you don't need a locker room full of choir boys, right? And it's not like Crabtree's going out, you know, shooting up a nightclub or getting DUIs or anything like that, but he is known as a me-first guy. And, you know, I don't think they want to bring that too much of that element into the locker room, especially on a team that's not having a bunch of success on the win-loss column or in the win-loss column to this point.
There's a difference between on-field and off-field attitude. And Michael Crabtree is a guy who it seems like it's more in the locker room than it is on the field with that guy. And I'm not sure that they want to bring in that type of guy. Like, I don't know how much more productive Greg Jennings would be than Michael Crabtree playing in the slot. He's certainly a younger player, Crabtree is, and coming off that Achilles injury, it usually takes about a year for you to fully recover, so maybe he's going to be coming in back into full strength in 2015 and beyond. But Greg Jennings seems like a really likable, good guy in an NFL locker room.
Who could also help you.
Right, who could also help you in the slot, and he's not past being productive, especially with what you would actually expect out of that position in this offense. He's just there to fill that slot position when Allen Hurns isn't going to be on the field, and to kind of have another coach in that room. It is about developing the young players on this team still. They like Allen Robinson. They like Marquise Lee. It's the reason they have more coaches on this staff than any other team in the National Football League. This is a teaching staff.
Yeah, that stat was incorrect, but it was.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it was. I just didn't decide. It was. Somebody did some fuzzy math, because supposedly they didn't count strength and conditioning on some of those teams, and
oh,
they
really?
Did on the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but let's to your point, they have a lot of coaches.
Yeah. The Greg Hardy thing, I'm not the first person to bring this up. Several outlets around the internet that I was reading yesterday made this point. Why do you need the photos? Why did you need the video of Ray Rice? It's the same thing. The thing, look, I understand the charges were dropped. The charges were dropped because the girl got paid off, okay? The photos were bad enough that the DA took it to trial, that a judge initially found him guilty in a bench trial, which is the system in North Carolina that automatically goes to appeal, where she didn't show up for the appeal. She pressed charges. Let's say the photos, well, her eye's not completely closed in this photo.
I would say they got burned by not seeing the Ray Rice video. And they, whatever decision they're going to make, I think they want to at least see whatever's going to be out there that could potentially be made public. They don't get surprised by anything again.
Is there enough information that Greg Hardy put his hands on his girlfriend? I mean, it seems like there's plenty of detail. And these pictures, look, it's not going to change whether or not what happened at trial. When them seeing these pictures, I think they're just afraid of, well, we're going to punish him, and we don't want it to look worse than it does.
To Tony's point, I think what they're deathly afraid of is on a Friday at 5 o'clock they give Greg Hardy a 6-game suspension. Monday at 5 o'clock, there's new evidence released.
Right. But I guess my point being,
they ought to. They're in a position where they can assume the worst almost, right? Like, they didn't need to see the video in the Ray Rice video. They were wrong in what they did as a punishment to Ray Rice. Whether they saw the video or not, the punishment that they gave him didn't fit what even they had been told about what happened in that situation. And they chose to make it 2 games. And then when the evidence became available, in this situation with Greg Hardy, I think you assume that you know what you know. Right, that something happened between the two of them. You hand out the punishment that you think is fair for that kind of thing, whether it be 4 games, 6 games, whatever. I don't think you need to see the evidence. I think the NFL is in such a big CYA mode right now
with
all this kind of
thing. That's all it is, because to me, if you hit someone in the face, maybe one person bruises worse than the other person. Does that make it any better?
No.
You know, does it? Oh, maybe I hit her, but... I hit her in a spot that it's not as evident as had I hit her in the eye and it all swelled up closed. You know what I mean? To me, it's like they want to say, let's see how bad it looks. How about how bad it is?
Right.
What he did is bad, whether it looks as bad. And that's I think, the thing that bugs me is just that's exactly what it is, kind of a CYA thing. It's funny. Speaking of the eye injury, you see the guy that, you know, Aaron Hernandez allegedly shot in the face. Right, his former buddy. He's got the messed up eye.
He's got two faces.
Yeah, right. He's got, you know, the eye's half closed. You can't keep the eye open. He's testifying in his trial. He's not allowed to testify that Aaron Hernandez shot him in the face, right? And the prosecutors, it seemed pretty logical. You're going to contend that, well, Aaron Hernandez wouldn't shoot his friend, Odin Lloyd. Well, right. Here's a guy who was his friend who says, no, he shot me in the face.
Yeah.
But he is allowed to testify that he saw Hernandez in possession of a Glock, a similar gun to the one that's alleged to be used in this crime. And, you know, the feeling is people, look, you're not supposed to know any details of this crime. You think people don't know the details of the crime? You don't think, I mean, maybe some of them don't, but I think enough of them do.
Yeah, I read about this trial, and he just, what a despicable person.
Oh, Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah, you know, these other guys are probably, they're bad guys, but they're not killers.
Right.
This guy is a bad.
And if all the stories are true, Ryan, that we know of, could be partially responsible or fully responsible for as many as 6 shootings.
Yeah.
6 different people. That's the ones we know about.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I say look, eventually you got to, sometime if you start shooting people, someone's got to be the first. But if you got 6, not going to be surprised if you have 20.
Would you put it past Hernandez if he started, if he capped a couple people who knew he had capped some other people?
Exactly. And I think that is what they're saying with
Odin
Lloyd. That's
the precipitating factor with Odin.
Right, that he knew too much. And
he was talking to a guy in the club, and Aaron got mad.
And that's the thing with Ray Rice to me. You typically, and I'm sure there are examples, I say typically, what do I know, right? But, I mean, in my mind, most people don't go from 0 to 100. You know, they don't just start shooting people. There's an escalation. I don't think Ray Rice, the first time he hit his loved one was a closed fist punch to the face. I don't think that's the first escalation. I don't think you go from never striking a woman to punching her in the face with a closed fist. I think he's probably done it many times in the past, is my guess, and she kept her mouth shut because that's where the money was coming from. That's my guess. And I'm not blaming her for keeping her mouth shut. I understand the psychology of being a victim and all that stuff, but I'm not buying that Ray Rice is this great guy that made one mistake. And that's my opinion. I got no proof of that, but I got no proof the opposite way either. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Tony, nobody wants these Armada tickets. We only have a couple of submissions. Send us a list of how many former hosts on 1010XL you can come up with. There are tons of it. It's so easy. So easy if you've been in Jacksonville for any period of time and listening to this station.
See, the thing is, I've been here since September 2012.
Okay.
And it seems like the roster hasn't really changed on the last 2.5 years.
It's been pretty stable the last couple of years.
I couldn't name one guy.
It's been pretty stable. I bet you could if you thought about it or you probably heard about it. But I bet if we went, maybe you wouldn't. I bet when Tony and I, towards the end, we'll go through the ones that we came up with.
I've heard of a couple. Yeah.
And I bet you'll say, okay, yeah, I probably did hear that guy used to be on the air. So anyway, if you email me, MikeD@1010XL.com, if you want those tickets to go see the Armada this Saturday night, play here at Everbank. Just how many former hosts on 1010XL can you come up with? 641-1010 is the number. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Question of the day, who is your most disliked player all time in the National Football League? You heard mine. Tony will weigh in. We'll get around to Tony weighing in.
We got Romanowski
tops my list. It's going to be hard to move him out of that spot for a long time. All right. Coming up next, more your calls and more on the Jacksonville Jaguars here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. For the record, Rick Ballew, Hacker, and T-Wig are not former hosts of 1010XL, to my knowledge. All right?
They're still on.
Thank you for the effort there, Matt. He said he couldn't go to the game anyway, but threw them in there. He said Ballew because he had his own show, and he's a former host of his own. But he's still on the station. He's a host on the station. Hacker and T-Wig, they hosted the fourth quarter. Just because we're not in season doesn't mean they're former hosts of this station.
Somebody put his name on the list.
No, not Tony. They put a Hacker and T-Wig. on the list. Who do the fourth quarter, the post game show.
Okay, because
so would your name be on the list because you had your own show?
I had my own show, the Mike Dempsey show.
And then
I'm a former
joined
host.
You, and then me and Brent
and
joined
Brent Martin was a former host then too. Right. Anyone who's still on here, and plus this list is populated by I'm not sure how many who've never been on the station as a host. nevertheless, I'm not even sure who some of these people are on this list, to be honest with you. But hey, I like the effort. Keep them coming. I got one here with about a dozen, and this seems like more up the alley of reality. So we'll get to that coming up. Let's get to Mel Kiper. Talk about the safest picks in the upcoming NFL draft. The 10 safest selections. We all know there's no, you know, I guess there are guys who turn out to be safe, but nothing's 100% sure guarantee. You feel pretty good. John Elway, to my knowledge, is the highest graded quarterback that ever came out of college in the modern NFL scouting era. Let's say post 1980 scouting, and you can go back further than that. Highest graded from my, you know, anecdotally, from everything you've heard, he had the best grade. Doesn't mean Elway couldn't have failed. I mean, he could have failed, right? I mean, look, Ryan Leaf wasn't graded as highly, but at one point he was thought to be right there with Peyton Manning, at least by some, and he was a colossal failure. So, you know, when you say safe pick, there's always an element of risk. But nonetheless, we'll start with he categorizes these guys. The run stopper plus. Leonard Williams, run stopper plus. That doesn't exactly scream
no,
the third overall pick, does
no,
it?
But when you read the little blurb that he has about him there, he basically says that Leonard Williams is a dominant force right now against the run. He can play multiple gaps along your defensive line and says that this is a player that is still developing as a pass rusher. He's a pretty good pass rusher right now,
right,
but still developing his skills as a pass rusher, but is a monster force against the run.
I guess I just wouldn't want Mel as my PR guy. If that's, you know, that just seems like
we got this run stopper at three.
He's a run stopper plus. He's a plus. He's a plus guy, and we'll take him third overall in this draft. But Leonard Williams, I think, as of today, and we'll do this, we're 4 weeks out, quarterback, first two picks. Leonard Williams, the Jaguar?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. Right, and I think even if the Jags got a trade offer, it would have to be substantial because I think Caldwell, as much as he wants multiple commodities, he realizes you have to have blue chip difference making guys, right?
And that would be the player where 2 months ago never thought he'd be available,
right?
Yeah,
and may still not be available when it's all said and done.
Yeah,
The reason it becomes more attractive, I find it hard to believe Dante Fowler, in my opinion, Dante Fowler, Vic Beasley, whomever you like, are on that Leonard Williams tier of, you know, that you could see 5 years down the road, he could be a five-time All-Pro right out of the gates. You know, that at least that's how he's talked about with that. I would be shocked, and as Irish Jag Stevie pointed out to me yesterday, we were kind of shocked when Blake Bortles was a pick, Ryan, but I would be shocked if it goes quarterback, and any other guy gets picked other than Leonard Williams, if the Jags stay put at the third pick.
Yeah, because if they move out of three, it's because somebody gave them an incredible offer, so that team could get Leonard Williams.
Exactly. That's who they're coming up for there.
So just digress on that 1 second. That would be fascinating. If he's on the board and the card isn't run up there, you know, is it a one next year? Is it a two and a three and a one this year? I mean, what would a team that's drafted like 11th, how much would they want to give the Jags, who have all the leverage in this case,
right,
to get up there? Because if Dave doesn't like the deal, he'll get, all right, I'm just going to take the best player
in the
draft.
I'll take the best player in the draft, right? It's a little different. You're right, because the quarterback may be more sought after and may have a bigger trade market, but the Jags may be more willing to take a smidge less because they're not going to take that guy.
Yeah, you know, you pass on Williams, you know he's not going to be in the division, and you trade down to take a couple extra kicks at the can, which would be more players.
Yeah.
But I think he would stay put at three.
The do-it-all pass catcher, Amari Cooper, man him, zone him, bracket him, press him, do whatever you want. Cooper shows he can get open with short area quickness, strength, and speed out of his breaks, and over the top, says he'll land inside the top 10. if it came down to, and I don't think the Jags are going to take a receiver there, but if it came down to that, I would be extremely surprised if they took Kevin White over Amari Cooper. He's got a much nice. Bigger body of work. I you know, in a better conference, typically week in, week out, going up against better competition.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of comparisons between Cooper and White are going to be made over the next month. You know, White is that run down the field, catch the long, whereas Cooper can do the short, the intermediate, and the long stuff. And I think why he would be a key for the Jaguars, works the middle of the field. They really don't have.
You could see him in the slot, right?
Yeah.
You could play there, and he could also play outside.
Yeah. And he, I think he would be a production machine. I mean, his average per catch wouldn't be great, but I think he, long shot, they take him, but he's going to help a team wherever he goes.
The edge rusher who fits, he can play with his hand on the ground. You can stand him up. You can win with quickness and dip around the corner or take advantage if a tackle commits to stopping outside leverage and work back inside. He's talking about Dante Fowler. If it is Winston, Leonard Williams, and there's not a good enough offer to move out of that spot for Marcus Mariota, it's Fowler. The likely pick, do you think?
I think it is. I think he is. I think he, you know, he's right below Williams, best pass rusher there. You know, if you're the Jags and you, let's say 2 weeks ago, you had Fowler and Gregory with the same grade, and you might have thought, okay, if Fowler's at 3, you can either take him or you can trade down, pick up an extra pick or two, and still take Gregory. Probably not going to happen now.
Correct.
So they'd probably stay put there.
Do you think that, like, just from a Jaguar perspective, how do you feel that they're evaluating these players right now? I know a lot of people are connecting Fowler to the Jags right now, but how do you compare him to, say, a Bud Dupree and a Vic Beasley? These are guys who don't necessarily play at the same size as a Dante Fowler. Uh-huh. It does feel like what Mel Kiper is saying about Fowler specifically is right. He's this hybrid. You don't know if he's a linebacker or a defensive end. He can do a little bit of everything for you. Maybe that's why he's being placed there.
It's almost like they probably don't have this up in their war room. Is they have two boards, staying put and moving down to 10 or 11. I think if you move down that first time, I think that's when Beasley comes into the radar. And let's say you move down twice. Well, then does that bring Dupree into the mix? So there's a lot of depth at those positions where, so no matter where they're at, they can probably find a good one.
The guy you can run behind, Brandon Scherff. I thought at a time before they signed Purnell, if in a trade-down scenario, let's say they traded down to 12 with Cleveland, and Scherff was in that range and was still available, I thought that was a possibility, but only in a trade-down scenario. Mm-hmm. We'd seen him mocked at one point before free agency.
Does Mel say he's going to be moved inside?
He says, let's see. Simply,
basically, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't have the length for
the evaluator. Says that he believes he can play right tackle, but probably going to be playing guard like Zach Martin or Joel Bitonio.
He'll be an interesting case for some team, because if you think he's a guard, how high do you take him?
Right, and look, Martin would turn out to be one of the best picks of the first round last year. I won't say he's more 15-ish, wasn't he, with Dallas? 13, 15, something like that. Let's see, who else? The sneaky safe linebacker, Shaq Thompson.
I'm not sure about that one.
I'm not sure about that one either, at least, again, according to what the analysts all say about him. I don't think there's a wholesale agreement on that.
It was weird listening to him at the combine, because his resume is just, he did everything at UW. To me, but he seemed defiant at the combine when he was getting asked, what's your favorite position? Well, I definitely don't want to play running back.
Right, because he was running back, linebacker, yeah, safety.
Some safety.
Right.
You know, well, how about if a team asks you to be running back? Well, I don't want to do that. Well, you know, to me, it's a little too early in the process to be too stubborn. So to me, it's like, okay, if you play a lot of spots, do you really have a home?
Right. The guy who could simply cover Trey Waynes, don't think that's pertinent to the Jags, the cornerback out of Michigan State. They're certainly not looking that early. The break the glass and emergency offensive lineman, Cam Irving, probably, again, less likely, although maybe a 1% chance if he's sitting there at 36, which everything you read indicates he probably won't be. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that, you know, the guy maybe you can envision coming out and beating out Polanco, but then maybe you've got that flexibility. Maybe he beats out Beatles, and, you know, you can play your best combination of guys, because mm-hmm. he can play a lot of different spots. Tony mentioned him earlier. That's what got us on this. The Speed Merchant Plus, Philip Dorsett out of Miami, ran 2 sub 4.340s at the Pro Day yesterday. The Freak Athlete with tape to match. Honestly, Byron Jones, we're talking about, the corner out of Connecticut.
Okay.
I honestly think, I mean, because once he ran the 40 and worked out at the combine, all of a sudden the tape caught up to his workout, it seems like to me. Because
The tapes are delayed. We haven't seen him yet.
Right. We went back and we looked at the tape a little closer this time around. So, and don't let him tell you that combine performance cannot sway draft stock.
But an interesting note about Byron Jones there, too, from Mel Kiper, is that he believes that depending on the team that does draft him, he could be being drafted as a safety. And if he's playing safety, that's probably the free safety spot in this league with that speed to get sideline to sideline. So that's an interesting consideration for the Jags there in the top of the second round.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's the only way that he would, I think, wind up in Jacksonville is if they fully believed he could come in and start at the free safety position. And then if you draft him in round two, and they said with Melvin Gordon, he said, given the injury questions, any running back faces, he's not a safe pick in round one. But if you could get him somewhere in the early portion of round two, I mean, yeah. So if you take him 30th, he's not safe. But if you take him 35th, he is safe now. I mean, you know, you either think he's going to be
the
getting
money's
it done
negligible.
Or not.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That first round stigma. It's there. It's stupid, but it's there.
All right,
from a public perception.
Let's get a couple of phone calls in here before we break. 641-1010. Today we'll go through the fan feedback spotlight coming up and see how many former hosts we can come up with on 1010XL, Tony. But Paul wants to weigh in with his most hated player. Paul, you're on Jaguars today. How are you?
Doing well. Yeah, this was a very easy question. I thought immediately of a guy who meets the description of the stereotypical mean, dumb jock from every 80s movie. This is a guy who was a very, very dirty player, would pick fights, would spit in other people's faces, and also had a whole scandal involving performance-enhancing drugs. And that's Bill Romanowski. He is a scumbag. He is horrible, and I hate him.
Well, then we agree entirely, Paul. Because
you two should start a club.
We should. I mean, we hate Paul Romanowski Club. That is and has been. He's the one guy, Tony. I'm sure there may be others. At least the one guy who is readily available to talk to at the Super Bowl every year. That I got no interest. He's been on 1010XL before. He ain't on with me.
Yeah, every year we see him at the Super Bowl. Mike's like, you can talk to him if you want. I'm walking away for 10 minutes.
Whatever. Do whatever you want. That's your prerogative. I'm not talking to this guy. Let's go to Steve next up here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I have a little slight disturbance on what I heard Ryan O'Halloran said a little earlier and about TJ Yeldon. If they draft TJ Yeldon, he'll come in and be the starter. I'm just trying to find out. I'm starting to see a pattern of, like, a little knock on Denard Robinson. Now, I ain't saying Denard Robinson is the best as the beat and is an all-out beast. I believe he can. But for the Jaguars to think TJ Yeldon can come in and start over a two-year veteran, a man who you asked to go through an all-season program and putting on weight doing this, he outperformed every running back on that team last season. So if your whole composition is competition, even if they draft Gordon or Gurley, I kind of would still expect Gordon or Gurley to start, but if you want a whole competition on this team, you need a whole competition at running back.
Let us respond to that. We got your point.
I mean, your point, you know, is if they don't draft a running back in the first round, which they're probably not gonna, they're gonna have to earn their way on the field. I mean,
sure, they
are. Denard shows some great things, but is he a 20-25 carry a game guy? He had some great moments last year, but I think for him to have longevity in this league, it's as a number two guy, and I would, if I'm him, I would beg to have a shot returning kicks in preseason.
I took what you said as to you would expect he would beat out the competition and emerge as a guy. I don't think they're going to hand it to anybody. Now, you draft Melvin Gordon at 36.
He's probably your
featured running back.
Right.
You get out of the second round. And look, there have been cases, Tony. We've seen it. Eddie Lacy took a little bit to get on the field initially, right? And they took him in the second round in Green Bay. Had to push out James Starks. These guys need to push the guy out. Kristen Michael got taken in the second round. He's not going to push out Marshawn Lynch that quickly. But if the Jags, with only 7 picks right now, spend one on a running back prior to the fifth round, guy's more than likely going to start for this football team.
I would love to be having this conversation in August. right? Can Melvin Gordon push into the starting lineup as the running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Let's have that conversation in August because they drafted him or Todd Gurley and cross that bridge when we get there. Right now, in my opinion, they got a bunch of guys that are probably effective third down backs on this roster. I don't know if they have a guy that they feel like they can rely on as an every down back, which is why this discussion is even coming up in the first place.
Yeah, and if I'm Denard, I have to feel very confident going into this, going into camp, because he did put some stuff out there. He, you know, they said improve on this, this, and this, and he did.
Yeah.
And I think he has a chance to carve out a niche as a backup running back who can fill in for a series or two. You know, and also he has to know this is the most physical position on the field. Chances are you're going to get your shot. Yeah, you're going to get carry. So that would be my game plan if I'm Denard.
All right, let's take a break and come back. I don't even know who some of these people are. People are guessing.
It's not going
on
well.
These former. No. I mean, it may be going well. I don't know every show that's been on. Honestly, I couldn't give you the complete catalog of shows on Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings that we've had in 8 years. 8 years is a long time. So we'll go through and see how many we can come up with. I guess we'll have to take the most correct submissions. I'm not sure how, because I don't know if any of these 100% didn't miss at all whatsoever. And by the way, just for your edification, Donna Blaylock is not a person. Okay. At least not one that has ever been on 1010XL. Neither is Jessica Murphy for that matter. All right. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Okay. All right. Down the home stretch. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony. Now, let's make this clear. Because Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser are on this morning, and they're not on this minute, that doesn't make them former hosts on 1010XL, right? Just because they're not on as we speak.
Right.
Right? Much in the way Ron Compton and Chuck Elliott will be glad to know that since they were on last night, they're not former hosts on 1010XL. Anyway, hey, people are taking a shot at this, Tony. All right, let's rip it out here. How many former hosts can we come up with on 1010XL? You and I were kicking this around, okay? Go back old school. Tom McManus, one of the originals, right? What's up, Tommy Mac? Joe Block, one of the original guys.
Yep.
Sean Woodland, one of the original guys. David Lamb, doesn't host his all the, no, wait a minute, Lamb is not a former host. Football season, right? He and Hacker, right? So Lamb's not former, Lamb's current. Because just because you're on, like people are saying JP Shadrick. Wait a minute. We don't do Jaguar pre and post game shows in the off season.
It'd be weird.
It would be strange to do that. We're not really counting Jaguar Network productions in this. You can if you want to, but so you could get away with Baselli. Because he was a 1010XL host, now he's a Jaguar Radio Network host, still on 1010XL.
Yeah.
Arlie Johnson, right? Jessica Blaylock is flown the coop now.
Mm-hmm. So we're at five.
Donna Blaylock is still here. That's Donna Murphy.
I don't think we mentioned Norvell.
Terry Norvell.
Cole Pepper.
We mentioned Arlie yet.
Cole Pepper, thank you very much. Pete Banaszak, right? Now, that was 1010XL's own post game.
Yeah.
We didn't have the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Cole Pepper's a good one. I've got so many of them in here.
Richard Miller.
Who else? Richard Miller, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Richard Miller, now, right, because he's like UNF Network. He still hosts coaches' shows and stuff like that, but it's not. That's a separate kind of thing,
yeah.
Even though he's still on the network. Who am I? Paul Spicer now?
Sure.
Pete Mitchell did 1010XL postgame with Tom McManus, or pregame. I can't recall.
I know it was
off
on the
top
pregame.
Of my head. Let's see, who else are we forgetting here? Tim Tebow never had his own show on 1010XL. Neither did Mercedes Lewis or Mike Thomas, although they were featured on Frank Gray's show.
But there was a Jaguars player who did.
Hey, running with MJD, baby! He's a former host on 1010XL.
That's 12.
Lex and Terry, former host on 1010XL. Oh, boy, do we remember that era fondly around here. What a terrific time we all had with that. Are Chad and Christy still doing the sports business show? How bad are now? You're on like didn't were they on like Tuesday nights when and you're on Tuesday nights and you're not sure about this?
Well, I'm on Tuesday nights. Richard Miller was actually on Tuesdays before I was doing it, and Helmets and Heels is on there now. So we're local till 10 o'clock on Tuesdays. I thought they were they doing Tuesdays or Thursdays? I can't remember.
Yes. Josh Carney is not a former host, although he will be very happy that someone named him, because that show's out of season now. Doesn't mm-hmm. make him a former host of the Web.com Fantasy Forecast. Should I bring up the names of people? I'm not quite sure who they are.
I don't,
would that be insulting to people?
You told them to me too, and I don't know what they are.
I'm gonna skip those names. I think I'm better off not getting in trouble with some of those names. I hate to say anyone of significance that I'm forgetting. Brent Beard never had his own show on 1010XL. Brent still comes on 1010XL. I hear him I think on Fridays usually with the crew of XL Primetime. Probably some others. I'm forgetting.
I feel like we're missing one that at least was a big deal.
I'm not sure about that. Denny Corson was former, is now back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Denny. Not that it, you know, he needs me to welcome him back. Pete Prisco never had a show on 1010XL, for people who are guessing.
Right.
Neither did Dino Costa. Neither did Greg Larson. Neither did Joe Fortunato. I only mentioned him because he just walked in the room.
Did we mention Greg Halliman?
Halliman, thank you very much. Someone did mention Greg Halliman. That was a great pull. Greg Halliman's a good dude, and I apologize, Greg, that you didn't jump first to the top of the list. I like Greg Halliman, and he was my short-lived hockey correspondent.
Yeah.
During the NHL playoff.
NHL guy, yeah.
Oh, he's fantastic in that regard. So, I'm sure there are others that have come and gone. We remember them all fondly. We pour out a glass of whatever beverage you'd like to choose on their behalf.
8 years.
I will come up with, I'll give one of you who came up with a comprehensive list, a pair of tickets to the Armada. Thanks for all your email submissions on that today. Oh, Howard, who's your least favorite player in NFL history?
I went with Brandon Lloyd.
Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah.
And it was just more difficult guy to yeah. work with?
Yeah.
So, what was it about? Just quirky?
You don't like the guys who only talk during the rare good time.
Gotcha.
So
there are some of those. I always appreciate, there are certain guys I always appreciate on the Jags. Daryl Smith, Justin Durant, Rasheen Mathis, among those who they could get whipped, they could win by 50. Didn't matter. They're going to stand there, going to look you in the eye. They're going to answer every single question.
Yep.
I appreciated those kind
of
guys.
I mean, and then guys who signed recently, Cecil is one of those guys.
Absolutely.
And then Alan Ball, knowing he was the veteran of that secondary, he was a great resource too.
Yeah. So there are others that just, tried to intimidate you and give you the stare down. Thinking of you, Buscelli, back in the day. But they were winning a lot back then. He just did it because that's how Buscelli was.
Oh, yeah.
Love you, Tony. Mark Brunell's not a former host on the station, nor is Dave Wydell. But we love you all out there, all you former Jags. Donovan Darius, not a former host, although he's been a frequent guest appearer on the programs, particularly ours over the years. So there are a bunch of others out there. I'm sure we're forgetting some. Don't mean to forget anybody as we celebrate the 8th birthday of 1010XL. Tony, today, who is your least favorite NFL player of all time?
I got a group that's kind of together in
my
own head.
They're called the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I do. The Eagles are my least favorite organization of all time. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles. I hate Philadelphia sports in general. I do. And that's the Braves and the longtime Giants fan in me with the Phillies and the Eagles. DeSean Jackson's my current least favorite player in the National Football League. All time, I have a couple guys that are kind of all together on that list. Warren Sapp is definitely one of those guys. Michael Irvin, I couldn't stand as a player. And honestly, I can't stand him as an analyst today either. If we were playing under today's rules in the 80s and 90s when he was in his heyday, I'm not sure how if the suspensions would have balanced out for Michael Irvin for some of the things that he was doing on and off the field. Terrell Owens was a guy that drove me crazy. But there's only one guy in NFL history, and I shared it with you fellas, that I've ever laughed at when he got hurt.
You're such a bad person.
I felt like a bad person immediately when I did it. When Donovan McNabb tore his ACL in 2006, I laughed out loud at Donovan McNabb in the sports bar that I was in. And immediately when I did it, I was like, oh. I was like, I don't want to be that guy. But I dislike Donovan McNabb that much.
A lot of hate come from that chair.
Seriously. I mean, I didn't realize.
Say one guy.
Well, I'm known as the hater, the bad person, the mean guy. But you, I don't cheer injuries, do I? As far as you know.
I've only done it once.
What kind of submissions do we get on Twitter quickly?
Only done it once. From Christoph, Peyton Manning, get a helmet that fits that five head. From Cristiano, Blaine Gabbert, all the false hope. From Demetrius.
Oh, I thought he was going to say another word.
Brian Bosworth, the guy came into the league as a rookie calling out, of all people, Bo Jackson, and couldn't back it up. From Matt Miller, Hugh freaking Douglas. Can't stand that joke of a player that stole a paycheck from the Jags just above Aaron Ross. From Paolo, speaking of Aaron Ross, Aaron Ross for messing with Duval. From Ocho Fisho, being a longtime Redskins fan before converting to the Jags, my all-time most hated is Randy White. From Stevie at Irish Jaguar, Warren Sapp, enough said. From Eric, Samari Roll back in the day, I hated him for what he always seemed to do to the Jags. And from Nick, Peyton Manning, hated losing to him year after year, was glad to see him leave the division, but now luck may be that guy.
All right. Oh, Chris Wayne, host of Ringside Live with Hacker. Just thought of him. Love you, Chris Wayne. Doing a good job with the J-Fund these days. I don't know what this person was answering, which question they were answering. They said Coughlin, Del Rio, Malarkey, Prisco, and McManus. Are these the NFL people you hate, or do you think they're all former hosts on 10XL? I'm not sure.
You hate all our coaches?
I just got a tweet of those five, unless those are the names of five movies that this person's watched the most of. I don't know.
Maybe he's like got a podcast off of last week.
Mel Tucker escaped the wrath, I guess, and that's good, and I guess he likes Gus. Ryan, what you got coming up coverage-wise in the next couple days?
Well, we got Sunday Insider. I talked to Todd Wash in Tallahassee on Tuesday about Jared Odrick. And how he'll be used. And then we'll start ramping up the draft stuff here in the next 7 to 10 days. A lot of good stuff coming.
4 weeks away.
4 weeks away.
Get it done. Follow Ryan on Twitter.
Is that what you call him when you talk to him, by the way? Jared Odrick Odrick?
Odrick.
I think Odrick's the way to go.
Odrick Odrick. Yeah. Just to see if he reacts to it just Odrick. Once.
He said he was very cool about it when he did his introductory press conference. He's like, oh, whatever, man. You know, yeah. I'm not going to get upset. People have been mispronouncing it. My whole life.
Well,
I got to get me. It's an O last name. I like O last names, so I got to. Yeah. We got to get it right.
You need Odrick. To get it right. It's an Odrick. We're going with Odrick.
Odrick.
That's
it's
what
like
we're sticking
we
with.
Mispronounced Jadeveon Clowney for 4 years. So, and he didn't correct anybody.
Jadeveon.
Yeah.
Jadeveon.
Yeah.
Right.
Jadeveon Clowney. When he came out in the draft, he finally said, yeah, my name's actually Jadeveon. It's like, dude, you've been in the spotlight for 3 years. You didn't once tell somebody in South Carolina my name's Jadeveon?
Yeah. Well, like how. Bill O'Brien just calls him JD.
Yeah.
You can't mispronounce Tony Smith.
No, it's a little
God
difficult.
God bless you, Fat
Smythe.
Tony. Smythe. Tony Smythe. All right, that does it for us, for Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, and for Donna Blaylock. We appreciate all of you out there in Radio Land. I'll send you an email if you won the tickets to go see the Armada play this Saturday night. XL Primetime coming up. There's still current hosts on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.